Well, next is the gospel reading from St. Luke. Large crowds are traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Here ends the text. I think the only federal holiday originally on a Monday is Labor Day. It started in 1894 to give the working man an extra day off. I think today more white collar than blue collar get the day off. Go out tomorrow. Restaurants, retailers, grocers filled with working class blue collar people, they're going to be open. Labor Day is another day of labor for them. So how about us? Is Labor Day Sunday a holiday for us? This text is certainly no holiday. It's an in-your-face on what you are to do if you're going to be Jesus' disciple. Today's a day for hating self. That's what Jesus says. I didn't include the others Jesus speaks of because they are easy to hate. I have no problem hating father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, even those in Christ, but my own soul. Yes, that's the Greek word for soul, life, self. The thing Paul Revere in the Raiders said, "Don't you see, no matter what you do, you'll never run away from you?" Yes, you can't even run away from self, let alone kill him. And can you see that's really what all the hating is about? Look at the next thing Jesus says. A disciple must carry his cross. The Greek is stronger. It's carry the cross of himself. Part of the torture of crucifixion was carrying the very instrument of your own death. Your cross is whatever puts to death me, myself, and I. And be certain of this. There are people, there are things, there are diseases, there's jobs, there's situations that are a magic bullet, antibiotic to yourself. They might not kill anyone else, but they will kill you. Jesus says, whatever they are, you must bear them or you cannot be his disciple. Finally, today is the day for saying goodbye to all the possessions of self. That's in the last verse, and it shows the force of this text in our labor is getting rid of me, myself, and I. You think it's this one person who is making it difficult or impossible for you to really follow Christ. No, it's you, yourself, and I. The insert says, give up everything he has, and again, the Greek is stronger. Let's put it in the vernacular. Kiss goodbye to all the possessions of yourself. If you're not willing to say goodbye to that thimble collection of yours, that artisan food you love, all your possessions that really possess you, there's no way you can be Jesus' disciple. You can hear how Jesus' words, cannot be my disciple, toll over this entire text. But some of you need more. Some of you are making excuses for why you don't hate yourself, why you refuse your cross, and why you won't hate all your things. Others of you are promising you're gonna do better if Jesus just gives you another chance. Still others think, well, now at least I know what Jesus expects of a disciple and I'm ready to start. No, you're not. Until you see yourself as that hateful little man who hates everyone but himself, until you regularly see you pick and choose any cross but the one that will kill you, until you see that you're only willing to give up possessions that you won't miss. Until all that happens, the law needs to still labor on you. If you're right now calculating the cost of building the tower of the Christian life, can you honestly say you have enough? You're ready to start building? Do you know what the Christian life costs? Can you pay that? Can you pay God to not be angry with your sins and sinning? Can you pay God to look the other way as you have yet another devilish thought? Can you pay for a tower that will reach all the way to heaven itself? If we take this illustration in light of what Paul says, that no one can lay another foundation other than Christ, but a person can build on it with either precious material or wood, hay, and straw, can you even do that? The insert says, not able to finish, and the English hears this with the cannot and is able in the war illustration. But the latter two are connected to the same Greek word, but our phrase not able is not. It's really the word, Greek word, be strong. It's the same Greek word found earlier in Luke 13 about the narrow door. Jesus says, make every effort to enter the narrow door because many will seek to enter but will not be strong enough. Do you have the strength to finish the Christian life Christ started you on? Do you have enough strength to hate self, crucify self, say goodbye to all your possessions that really possess you? I don't think so. Well, maybe we'll do better with that second illustration, which again is to bring you to the realization that not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Well, can you win against 2-1 odds? In the 70s, the Army's doctrine was, we will accept the United States 3-1 odds and expect to win. In 16th century Italy, Italian city-states would war back and forth against one another. And the mercenaries, they'd hire mercenaries, and those mercenaries would change sides like sandlot baseball games. These conflicts weren't that bloody or deadly. Then the French came. And they meant business. They really fought, and they had a take-no-prisoners mentality. Can you not only stand up, but take on and win against the devil, the world, in your own sinful flesh? They are Frenchmen playing for keeps. They're not playing at war. They're maiming and killing. Oh, I know, you're going to make peace with them. So what are your peace terms? Whether you wish to view God as coming against you with his holy, uncompromising law, or the devil and death approaching, the terms are the same. Your soul, your life, your all. See, one way or another, you're losing self. Well, there's not much to be happy about this Labor Day weekend, is there? You've heard the saying, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. No amount of your labor is going to dig you out of this hole you yourself have dug for you. But there is one who labored night and day till he finished getting you out of that hole. God the Son was sent by his Father into our fallen world and into a body made like ours in every way, yet without sin. In, with, and under our flesh and blood, he worked, he labored, he dug, he warred, he built. So many laymen are content with a shallow understanding of the person and work of Jesus. They think anything beyond John 3:16 is superfluous. They think anything beyond Jesus loves me, this I know, is useless as knowing how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And then they wonder why they don't or can't see how what Jesus did helps them in a particular situation, crisis, or need. Jesus actively kept the law in your place. It had to be kept. Otherwise, it would go on accusing you day and night. When that happens to you, it always sets you at odds with the people in your life. You have this constant litany playing in your head and heart about what you are to do but don't, and all the evil you do and think. like the Chinese water torture that tap, 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 drills your sin and guilt into you till you lash out at the closest one available or the easiest target. Oh, that you could see all that head and heart convict you of have been done by Jesus. He did build a tower reaching to heaven. Every law he kept, every good deed he did, every perfect thought laid down another brick in that tower. It's a tall, solid tower that doesn't sway in the wind. He built it for you. His active obedience in keeping the law is more than enough for every person in the world to walk on all the way to heaven. But there's more. The act of obedience of Jesus refers to how he kept the law perfectly in place of all humanity. The passive obedience of Jesus is also needed. This is what was done to Jesus to pay for the sins of all. This refers to the wrath of God being pleased to crush Jesus. This refers to the soldiers whipping, crowning, spitting, and crucifying him. This is the Son of God going forth the war against 3-1 odds. He takes on sin, death, and the sin and death you deserve, and the devil who claims he owns you. But you see how he fights? He bleeds, he sighs, he cries, and dies. He buys you back from the unholy three of sin, death, and the devil. There's not one law that proves they own you because Jesus kept them all. And there's not a drop of blood, sweat, or tears that needs to be added by you to cover up your sins, your guilt, or your shame. Jesus shed more than enough to cover and pay for the sins of the world. Now then, don't try suing for peace on your own. The devil, the world, and your flesh will have you for lunch if you do. The world's the person who is mad at you, and when you apologize, they say, "Fine, but don't let that happen again." They don't forgive you. They're still looking for their pound of flesh. And no matter how much of your flesh you pay, they're not going to be satisfied. Try making peace with the devil, and you'll end up like Faust, selling your soul. Or like the hunter who made a deal with the bear. The hunter wanted a fur coat, and the bear wanted a meal. They both got what they wanted when the bear ate the hunter. And your own flesh is lying. It's lying when it says it will give you a moment's peace if you just give it a moment's pleasure. Jesus wants you to see he established peace. There are two Greek words for the word ask. One means to ask of an equal. The other means to ask of a superior. Now, if you're a king with half the force of the king coming against you, you're not an equal. But the Greek word here is ask of an equal. The word ask for terms of, that's asking of an equal. That can only be true of the Son asking the Father. The Son is equal to the Father, and he asked, "Father, forgive them. Father, keep them in my name. Father, preserve them from the evil one." You may not see how God can be at peace with you. You may not feel it. Others of the world let you know war is still raging between you and them. But don't try to make your own peace terms. Cling to the peace of God that passes all human understanding, which Jesus labored and suffered to win. This, no man, no devil, no guilt can take from you. Virtually every other federal holiday, members have complained to me for not celebrating on a Sunday. But no one has ever complained about not celebrating Labor Day. Why? It's a happy holiday. Depending on whose labor you're celebrating. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.